Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. You know, with Memorial Day weekend about to begin, we always want to make sure that the conversation isn't only about your picnics and your barbecues and your trips to the beach and the weather. We're going to take your Memorial Day tributes right now to anyone who died in the Iraq or Afghanistan wars. That era is coming to a close. 2014 Memorial Day, I think, is very poignant for that reason. This is the year that the Obama administration is withdrawing. I know there will be some troops left there, but basically our combat troops are getting out this year. And so we invite you now to honor the men and women you know who died in these wars. Anyone by name who you would like to mention. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And that could be if they were serving in the armed forces or working as a contractor in Iraq or Afghanistan or otherwise as a civilian. Maybe somebody who took their own life as a vet of these two wars. There are so many of those. Or maybe you knew an Iraqi or an Afghan who died as these two conflicts raged on since 2001 and 2003, respectively. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we offer you public airtime to honor the person you know who died in the Afghanistan or Iraq war as this era comes to a close. 212-433-WNYC. How are you feeling on this Memorial Day weekend as you think about that person, looking back on these two wars that are now, for the most part, behind us, even as, of course, the loss lives on if this is personal for you? So share your tribute to that person on the air. Tell us about that man or woman who is no longer with us, no longer with you, on this Memorial Day weekend. And also joining us now to take your calls and to talk about Memorial Day in this context is Joanne Steen. She is a nationally certified counselor with a focus on traumatic loss and a military widow herself. She's the co-author of Military Widow, a Survival Guide, and she has another book coming out soon called Military Parents, We Regret to Inform You. Joanne, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
And let me start by inviting you to do the same thing we're inviting our listeners to do. Your husband was a naval aviator. I know he wasn't in these wars, but do you want to talk a little bit about him and how you came to write your books?
Thank you. And actually, my story is somewhat of an old one in that my husband was killed 22 years ago. But for me, it was a very life-changing event, and it's the type of event that many of our current families of the fallen, our Gold Star families, can relate to. My husband was killed in what was called a mass tragedy aviation accident. And afterwards, I found myself very lost and very alone. And so given the skill set I had, I threw myself into work and spent the next 6 or 7 years in my job and basically traveling around the world. And it took that amount of time for me to tire myself out. And when I did that, I went back to graduate school and went through grad school, started a second career, and was establishing myself in my second career when the attacks on September 11th occurred. And it was just a natural response for me to write Military Widow, a Survival Guide, because this was the resource that I was looking for that wasn't available. And now we were a nation at war. So I found myself writing the book and then falling back into the role of becoming a speaker and an instructor on the subject.
And before we take some of our callers with their tributes to the fallen in these two wars, grief doesn't come all at once, of course. It goes on, it changes, and Memorial Day takes on a different meaning. I'm sure it did for you. It's seen as the unofficial start of summer, and that's how the media usually refer to it. What do you think when people may casually say to you, Happy Memorial Day?
Well, I have to remember the fact that for many of them, it is the unofficial start of summer, and having grown up in New Jersey, it meant going down to the Jersey Shore. But when we look at Memorial Day and we look at the fallen, we have to remember two things. We have to remember, first of all, that for the families of the fallen, this is not only a national day, but this is a very personal day. And Memorial Day is the nation's opportunity to remember the fallen for the benefit of those service members' families. And while we do recognize the fallen, it's the families that live that sacrifice, not only on Memorial Day, but they live it all year long.
So, listeners, you are invited now to pay tribute as we enter Memorial Day weekend to any individual who died in or as a result of the Iraq or Afghanistan wars. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Jonathan in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Good morning. Thank you for calling. Jonathan, you there?
Yes, Brian. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you to your guests for coming on the show. I'd like to remember my friend, Lieutenant Daniel Farkas from Fort Greene, Brooklyn. He passed away in Iraq in 2008, and he was a total mensch, and I miss him to this day.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Thank you. Lewis in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lewis. Who do you want to remember?
Yes, I want to honor Sergeant Manny Hornado.
Tell me about Manny.
From Brooklyn, New York.
What do you want to say about him?
He was a great guy, great father, and he's always missed by friends and family.
Where did he die?
In Tikrit, Iraq.
Do you find that for yourself, whatever feelings you have about the war, and I have no idea of your politics?
What's that?
Do you find
sorry,
that?
I'm in an ambulance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You're working?
Yes.
Do your political feelings about the war inform your grief at all, or it doesn't matter?
Not really. It doesn't matter what I feel one way or another, but I'm just still thinking of him and his family.
And you're still out there saving lives, so thank you for your service.
Okay, thank you.
Listeners, who else wants to remember someone who died in the Iraq or Afghanistan wars as that era comes to a close and as we head toward Memorial Day weekend? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Amy in White Plains is next. Hi, Amy. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
Who do you want to remember? Hi, yes, Amy. Who do you want to remember?
I want to remember my nephew, Anthony Vinetz. He did two tours in Iraq and a tour in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, he passed away in Afghanistan about 3 years ago. And he was a wonderful guy, full of mischief and life. And he has two beautiful children and a beautiful wife and family who love him and miss him and think of him all the time.
What did he say about his mission? Anything you'd want to repeat?
He felt very dedicated. I think he actually was part of the group that captured Saddam Hussein. And while his and my politics were very different, I respected his commitment to his guys. You know, he was injured before, and he could have opted not to go back, but he felt that his guys were there, and he had to go and be with them. And he was very brave, and he was just a lovely, fun guy.
Amy, thank you. A wonderful tribute. And Joanne Steen, author of Military Widow, A Survival Guide, I want to read some of the numbers. 2,181 is the official count of U.S. servicemen and women who lost their lives in Afghanistan to date. Numbers vary, but 1,173 U.S. civilian contractors are said to have died in that war. In Iraq, 4,486 American service personnel and 245 contractors were killed. And again, the number of contractor casualties seems to vary a little bit depending on who's doing the record keeping. But I wonder if you find that the experience or the advice that's needed by friends and family members for you as a counselor of contractors who have died in these wars or anybody else in civilian roles is any different than those who are actually wearing a uniform?
the grief, Brian, is the same in that it's a very traumatic and very fundamental grief, but there are some major differences. And very often there's a perception that the contractors are there maybe for some financial gain. And so what contractors don't get is they don't get a lot of the respect that's given to a military loss. And when we deal with a military loss, you have a certain amount of respect and reverence that's accorded to it, whether it's the dignified transfer of remains coming back into Dover or all of the rites and the just powerful traditions that are given to service members in a military funeral. Contractors don't get that type of recognition. And so what often happens is the families of these contractors usually experience a bit of disenfranchisement where they feel that their loss isn't as important as the loss of others because they are not given the same amount of recognition and the same amount of recognition not only for the death of their loved ones but also for the grief that they show.
And as far as
another complication to a very traumatic death.
Indeed. And I don't know if anybody's going to call up who is a loved one or a friend of anybody who is in that position to talk about that and maybe some of the additional disenfranchisement, if that's the right word,
that
you feel, or marginalization if your lost loved one was a civilian who worked, for example, for contractors who've been so politically controversial. That's the use of them. That's obviously not the individuals who may have given their lives. And on the question of who we count as victims of the war, who we remember on Memorial Day, of course, the U.S. service members are top of mind. Then there are the U.S. civilians. But it's also believed that at least 132,000 Iraq and Afghanistan civilians died in these wars. And, of course, estimates of those are less reliable and are all over the place. I'm using a conservative number from Brown University. To me, we have to remember those people, too, on Memorial Day. Maybe less so the people who were shooting at the Americans, but certainly the civilians.
Yes, yes. There's one other group that I think we need to remember on Memorial Day, too, Brian, and it's a statistic that's not often publicized. But with Memorial Day, we do look to remember those that have fallen in our wars and our previous wars. But in reality, the government, the United States military, has lost a number of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine each year in what are called line-of-duty deaths that are not related to Iraq and Afghanistan.
That have taken place over the same period of time.
Over the same period. And I'll just give you a little for instance here, and I offer this up because I don't want the families who are listening to feel that their loved one who has died or was killed in an area outside of Iraq or Afghanistan won't be remembered. And since the September 11th attacks, we've had more than 17,000 military personnel who died or were killed in the line of duty. And this could be something as they were killed in another operation outside of Iraq.
Right.
They were killed in training missions. They were self-inflicted deaths. But those, too, are remembered on Memorial Day. And it's important for the families because they often feel left out when the holiday comes around.
And I'm glad you included that group. And you know what other civilians you can include? The people who died on 9/11 itself, which,
absolutely,
of course, began this era. So Jerry in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. It's rather tough for me to speak on the air about this, but my brother, Captain Francis Kim, he had committed suicide last November, and he had served in Afghanistan. And after hearing his friends in the Army and talking about how he served, I think what had happened was he initially was supposed to go over to Iraq, but was held back, but a lot of his platoon mates had died, and his platoon actually suffered one of the largest casualties during the war. One of his friends, after he had passed, wrote an article in the Daily Beast talking about how an average of 22 servicemen, commit suicide per day, which I thought was an astounding number. I couldn't believe it myself, but when I heard that number, it was...
I have that same number here. It's cited as a Department of Veterans Affairs number, and it is astounding, isn't it? Do you have a sense, if you're comfortable talking about it, whether it was survivor guilt after the incident that you described, or something else that maybe other veterans can hear from you and learn from that can help them resist that temptation if they're feeling it, that led your brother to consider that life wasn't even worth living anymore?
Yeah, it was very strange how my brother survived after he came back. He became a very different person. He acted out a lot differently, and his personality seemed to change, and substance abuse was definitely part of the equation, and we thought that he was just trying to live life to the fullest after he came back, you know, and had served for almost, I think, 8 years, and we just thought it was just a natural transition, you know, having been in the Army so long, just wanting to live life again. But then there was these signs that, you know, he became more angry, and finally he confided in me and my brother, and we did our best to try to seek help, and he was seeking help towards the end of his life, but, you know, there were just small things here and there that just would trigger these really bad memories, mm-hmm. and ultimately we couldn't save him.
Jerry, thank you for calling. I appreciate your openness about this, and hopefully it will help some
Frank,
others.
Frank, can I jump in and say a few
Please,
words,
Please, of course.
Yes, Jerry, first of all, I just wanted to say to you and your family that I'm sorry for the loss of your brother and son and loved one. But I also want to tell you that I want to say thank you for your brother's sacrifice, and thanks for your brother raising his right hand and offering to join the military as a volunteer.
Yes, he was very proud to have served in the Army.
Jerry, thanks again. So how do you counsel people, and is it any different if their loved one committed suicide after coming back from the wars as opposed to being killed in combat?
Good question. When you know, we look at military deaths, and we look at a whole variety of them, and we have to deal with the suicide, you know, the suicide completions. And it's a different experience for the survivors. They carry with them some of the guilt that goes along with a suicide death. But I think most survivors, whether it's through suicide or whether it's a non-hostile type of death or a civilian stateside accident, look to seek the purpose of their service member's life in service to country and duty. We have an all-volunteer force, and they seem to find some... They seem to find the peace of mind that says that whatever led to the events of his or her death, that they found this peace of mind in the fact that their child or their loved one was one of the less than 1% of Americans who were willing to volunteer in a post-9/11 world.
Joseph in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Who do you want to remember on Memorial Day weekend?
I'd like to remember an English soldier that was a friend that was killed in Afghanistan, Douglas Dalzell. And he was killed on his 27th birthday back in 2010. And since his death, his family have created a wonderful charity in his name that raises funds for not only soldiers but their families. And they address mental health issues as well as very practical things like refitting bathrooms so that those without limbs can get in and out of them very easily. So this is a wonderful thing that you're doing, and I wanted to contribute.
And I'm glad you did, Joseph. Thank you very much. John in Middletown, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to remember my nephew, Sean Keel, Major United States Army Marine Corps.
It's all right.
He was a four-tour graduate, a four-tour survivor, both in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Four tours.
And after his last tour, while attending the MBA program at Georgia Tech, he took his own life.
Another one.
And as And just to add a few thoughts about that, it seems that IEDs, rattling people's brains around, seems to be a component of this. Although you are impressed by the number of dead, the number of casualties, severe casualties, brain injuries, brain trauma, is enormous, much more than it's ever been in any other war. And I don't believe that our medical facilities supporting the military are up to speed to take care of them. I just hope that we're able to get the additional help into the VA and into the communities where these people are now living.
John, thank,
so they stand a chance.
Thank you very much for remembering your nephew and for raising that issue. And Joanna Steen, author of Military Widow, A Survival Guide. You know, Memorial Day, sometimes when I start to plan a Memorial Day segment for the show, people say, oh, yeah, you know, I know somebody who works with vets. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, no, no. It's not Veterans Day. It's Memorial Day. This is for the people who actually died. But one, one of the facts that John raises, which I think is really salient, is that there are fewer deaths in these wars than there would have been because medical technology has, you know, moved past where it was during World War II or Vietnam, say. But at the same time, it means there are more people left alive with severe injuries, whether they're loss of limbs or traumatic brain injury, who would have died in the past. And they're kind of in a new category today.
That's true, Brian. And, you know, we've looked at World War I, the ratio of dead to the wounded was 1-to-1. And in Vietnam, it was 2-to-1. And in this most recent wars with Iraq and Afghanistan, it's in the neighborhood of 7-to-1. And it's true, the TBI, the traumatic brain injuries, this is a newly researched field, and it's gaining more and more research because of just the need. And we see the crossover to the NFL and the concussion and injuries that are taking place there. But this was TBI is looking to be one of the signature injuries coming out of this war.
Antonio in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Antonio. Who would you like to remember and shout out to?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys? I want to remember all the Marines that I served with. When I was in Iraq, there was a platoon of Marines that I know of that were sleeping underneath an 18-wheeler trailer, and the legs unfortunately gave way, killing these Marines. So I just remember these guys and another Marine that I know of that picked up an IED up the side of the road and had it in his pocket and unfortunately blew up and ended his life.
Mm. So having served yourself and witnessed these colleagues who got killed, how do you feel now as this war era is coming to a close? Is it relief? Is it a different kind of sadness? Is it inspecting the mission and whether it was worth it? Are you asking yourself any of these things?
Definitely. When I was over there, I was actually a translator, so I got to see a different side of things from other Marines. So I got to know the people and understand, you know, what they went through. So what the war, I guess, stood for Americans was way different from what I saw. I had a different outlook on it, and I feel this war was really pointless. And all the Marines and service people who get out should get proper transitioning therapy because they don't get that. We never got it. That's why they all commit suicide, because they can't deal with the issues.
Antonio, thank you, and thank you for
May
your
I
service.
May I make a comment, Brian?
Of course.
Antonio here.
Of course.
First of all, I just want to say Semper Fi, Marine.
Hoorah.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
That's right. So never realist.
Thank you again. And I guess we should acknowledge, considering what the last two callers brought up, the news of the mismanagement at VA hospitals in the headlines with allegations that some veterans were placed on a secret waiting list, and in some cases the long waits might have resulted in their deaths. So what do you think about that, Joanne? Is, you know, what it means to military families, or what's the conversation like for them around this terrible story?
I'm not current in the sense of all of the events that are unfolding with the VA. My experience with the VA have been personal ones, and dealing with the Veterans Administration on a personal level has been quite good. But as we look at this larger picture, and survivors are saying, "My loved one died because of this care issue," for them it adds another level of complexity to an already complex loss.
And we're going to leave it there. We thank everybody for your shout-outs to some people who are your friends or your relatives, people you cared about who have died any time during the Iraq and Afghanistan war era, which is kind of coming to a close this year with the official troop withdrawal that the Obama administration is conducting right now, even though not every American will be out by the end of this year. And we did want to make it personal on Memorial Day weekend and let you say some of the names of people who have died out loud on the radio, on the public airwaves. And I appreciate the emotional challenge that it was for some of you who actually called up and went through that. And we thank our guest, Joanne Steen, author of Military Widow, A Survival Guide. And she has another book coming out soon called Military Parents, We Regret to Inform You. And I'll mention that we have a link on WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, to a website, legacy.com, that has a page for servicemen and women killed in these wars. And loved ones post their tribute there, particularly on Memorial Day. So you can go and use that if you want, or just use our own page to continue this segment. Do you want to mention anything about legacy.com before you go?
I think it's a great resource, and I've read and used many of the bios that are on there. I just want to say, Brian, thank you for letting all of our survivors here remember their loved ones in a very public way. I know it means a lot to them.
Thank you again. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, why library story time is the new hot ticket in town. Put away the iPads and cue up the strollers. Stay with us.